The devil never thought he had won. Matter of fact, he's trying to keep Christ off the cross. He knowed if Christ got to the cross, he would be defeated. And folks, you say, well, he don't look like he's defeated. Oh, he's defeated. He just don't know it yet. Amen. He's defeated. And I'm glad that we are in the day of the grace of God. G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. Unmerited favor. That God will do something for me and you that we cannot do for ourselves. We cannot earn it. We cannot buy it. We cannot talk our way into it. It's only Christ. Grace. There's no other word for grace but amazing. I want to say something to you today. You may be unsaved. You may think, well, you know, I'm involved in so much sin. I got to get this, that. Folks, God's grace will cover you. He'll save you today, wash you from your sins, cleanse you. The Holy Ghost will move in your heart, lead and guide you. All of a sudden, the things that you used to like, you won't like them anymore. The place you used to go, you don't want to go there anymore. Hello. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. But I also want to say this. If you're saved, if you're born again, you know, we try to preach hard here, but I don't want anybody to think that I don't believe a saved person that's out of the will of God can't get right. You may be here. You got a testimony of your salvation. You know you're born again. You know you're saved. That's settled. But you've drifted. You've drifted, and you drifted some more. You've got away from God. Peter walked on water. Then he said, then he walked afar off. Get that. He walked on water to Christ, but then here comes a situation in his life, and he's walking afar off from Christ. Right. And he denies it 3 times. Right. Began to cuss and deny. A saved man. But you know what? He got right with God. Him and the Lord had a conversation. John 21. Right. You love me? Yeah, Lord. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yeah, Lord, you know I love you. You know everything. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. You know what he said? If you love me, get right. Get back with me. Get back to work. Get back in line with what I'm doing and with me. You know what Peter did? He did it. And the Lord, even in that text, told him how he was going to die. But he got his heart right with God and preached on the day of Pentecost, and 2,000 or 3,000 got saved. So failure is not final, Christian. You hear me? Failure is not final. Now, God's people, when they fail, we're ashamed. Sin makes us ashamed because the Holy Spirit, I'm going to preach sometime or another, the Holy Spirit is grieved in us. You know, when we don't take the high road, we take the low road. And okay, whatever the flesh and the devil's trying to get us to do, and then all of a sudden the guilt comes in. What's that? That's evidence of salvation. The act might have satisfied the flesh, but the end result is you're miserable. So you chose the low road. Don't act like, hey, there ain't no halos hanging on nobody's head here today. We all wrapped in the same stuff. The Lord don't want us to sin, but he said, if you do, you have an advocate with the Father. Advocate, a go-between. Somebody take care of it. That's Jesus. You can repent. You can truly get that right with God. Don't say here as a Christian, say, you know what? I keep failing the Lord. I'm not. I try to be faithful. I'm not. I try to read my Bible. I don't. Try to be a witness. I can't. I try to get things of the world out of my life, and they keep creeping back. Hey, don't quit. Right. Don't quit. Just keep. Hey, a just man falls 7 times, rises again. Right. Keep getting up, getting right. Hey, God knows you. He loves you. If you sincerely get it right, he'll take care of it. You remember Peter said to the Lord, how many times should we forgive somebody? 7 times? The Lord said 70 times 7 in a day. Now, who do you know that's going to trespass against you 490 times in one day? So the Lord gave that extremity. So, hey, every time he asks you, hey, every time he's sincere and asks you to forgive him, you do it. Even if it's the same thing, you do it. Folks, that's an example. God's not okay in sin. He chastens his children. The Spirit of God deals with our heart. But folks, the Lord said, Peter, you need to, as many times as he asks, and they're sincere, you forgive him. And the Lord says the same thing. I don't know why that was on my heart. They were singing, that got on my heart. It's just history singing about grace. Again, we're not okay in sin. We're not acting like sin's nothing. But folks, in our flesh dwells no good thing. Amen. Right. Amen. Right. Folks, in our own selves, we're vile. And we contend with this flesh every day. The spiritual man and the fleshly man, spiritually, they're at war every day. There was that way. The devil and the Holy Ghost at war for your soul. When the Lord began to show you your need for Christ, all of a sudden the devil steps in and says, no, you don't need that. Look, all you're going to have to give up. The devil talks about all you're going to lose. He never mentions what you're going to gain. You're going to lose hangovers. You're going to lose waking up somewhere you didn't know how you even got there. You're going to lose a cussing tongue. You're going to quit being a liar and a whoremonger and adulteress. Yeah, you're going to lose some things. But look what you gain. Eternal life, being a child of God, a new nature. Hey, when the Lord saves you, all that stuff's forgiven. Justified as though you've never sinned in God's sight because the blood of Christ covers you. Folks, God's grace is saving. God's grace will forgive you. Amen. What time is it? All right, I got 20 minutes. Said nobody ever. Ezekiel. Let me run through this. Ezekiel chapter number 37. Ezekiel chapter number 37. Now, this text may be familiar to some, and it may not be to some. And the interpretation, the main reason of the text, of course, God is showing Ezekiel a vision. And it's a vision of a valley full of dry, dead bones. And he asked him in verse 1, let me go ahead and read it. And the hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. So what he's doing here, he's showing him a picture of Israel's present state. At this time, they were in bondage to Babylon. Of course, Brother Bub was talking about Nebuchadnezzar this morning, that first Gentile world leader. Folks, you remember, because of Israel's rebellion, they were in bondage to the Gentiles. Babylon, the Medes and the Persians, the Romans, that great image, and every part of that image in the book of Daniel, it shows you one of the Gentile world powers. But we understand when it gets to the toes and feet, God's going to crush that thing. But at the moment in this text, they are in bondage. It's almost probably as bad as the bondage they had with Egypt. 430 years they were in bondage to Egypt. Now here they are, they're in bondage to the Gentiles. And folks, can I say this? Their bondage was of their own doing. They're rebelling against God. They yoked up with the wickedness of the world. The Gentile, they began to worship their gods and marry their women and living out of the will of God. Folks, here's a plug. I'm just going to preach today. The Lord will never, listen to me, young people. The Lord will never, I said the Lord will never. Did y'all hear that? Did y'all hear me? The Lord will never. He will never lead you to marry someone that's not saved. If you're saved, he'll never lead you to marry somebody that's not saved. And I don't think he'll lead you to marry somebody at the moment that's backslidden. If you feel in your heart that's the one, you better pray that they get their heart right and begin to serve the Lord. But I won't go there. I don't have time. But the Lord will never, ever, never, ever, never, ever. Now, I know God has shown mercy to folks that married unequally yoked. I understand that. God's merciful. And I've seen that when they wasn't saved, get saved. Amen. I've seen them engage somebody wasn't saved. You know, I was worried about it. But you know what? God intervened. But folks, that's the exception. That's not the rule. God, hey, can I say it again? I don't know why God's got this on my heart. Hell never, ever, ever, never, never, ever leads you to marry someone who's not saved. Amen. It don't matter how spiritual religious they sound. If they don't believe this Bible, they're not saved. If they distort the gospel, they're not saved. I don't care how nice and polite they are. Folks, I know a lot of unsaved people that are honest, that wouldn't do you wrong, that are some of the nicest people you'll ever talk to, but that's not getting them anywhere. They got to be saved. And so Israel began, hey, God, we see the picture here how God told them not to ever yoke with the ungodly Gentiles. He didn't tell them, hey, you say a preacher, I don't think that's right. Well, you got to talk to God about that. I didn't write this. I'm just going to preach it. And so therefore they begin to unequally yoke with unbelievers. Bible tells us not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. He told Israel and he also told the church. That, hey, you know what I can say? That's a universal commandment. There's some universal commandments. I know God's got some promises and things for Israel, but he's got some different promises and things for the church. And I'm not trying to put the church in Israel. God forbid. I'm just trying to paint a picture. Folks, the Old Testament is here for our admonitions, what Paul said, for our learning that God is no respecter of persons. And we can learn from them, even though we're not in that dispensation. We're not under the law, we're under the grace of God. But however, God, the Israel's, their first problem was they disobeyed God and yoked with the wrong people. I want to tell you something, folks. God's people ought to be godly people. We ought to be Christ-like people. We ought to have a Christ-like spirit. Now, what do you mean? Jesus ate with sinners, but he didn't sin with sinners. And folks, can I tell you something? He changed them. They didn't change him. We are, folks, don't ever, I don't care how they look, I don't care how they act, and hey, don't ever be unchristlike to someone that's not saved. Be courteous, be polite, let them see a difference, but you can't yoke with them. You cannot yoke with them. We are to be a witness and a light and salt in front of them. The Pharisee mentality of some Christians is that they look down on everybody that's not up where they think they are. Right. You'll never win a soul to Christ with that spirit. Right. You'll never lead nobody to Christ acting like you better. Right. Acting like they're down there under your feet because they're not saved. Let me tell you something else. As Christians, man, I'm just preaching. As Christians, listen to me. I believe Christians will live right. Dress white, spit white. Yeah. Folks, everybody don't grow at the same pace. Come on. Me and my wife could reminisce about our children as they growed up. All of them were different. But they finally got to the same place of maturity in their life. Hey, don't be so hard on them. Dr. Jack Hiles and another preacher was walking in a store, and one of his church members came in, and she had those shorty shorts on and a real tight shirt. Do y'all know what Dr. Hiles did? He approached her with that preacher and introduced her and said, "This is one of our fine members, and I love her." I'm sure there might have been a moment where he dealt with that. But you know what? He gave these people time to grow up spiritually. Amen. And that's our job. We lead them to Christ, but we don't disciple them. We don't take time to show them things. You know what I can do pretty easy? It's cast the reel. Now, I'm talking about a Zebco 33. That's all I use. Don't bring that stuff to me. Just mash the button. Hey, you need to get the lady. Folks, that fish don't know what you're fishing with. You just better pray he's hungry when he goes by your bait. But you know how that's easy? Because my first fishing rod was Zebco 202. And my daddy took me out in the yard and put a couple of them sinkers on it. And he taught me in the yard how to cast it. It took me a while. He chewed the duck off a lot of cool filters trying to do it, I know. But hey, you know what? He kept working with me. I wasn't about 4 or 5 years old, and he kept working with me. We had planned, me and my daddy and my grandpa Turner, we went to a pond over there in Grambling. I'll never forget it. My grandpa, my handle had a cork handle. My grandpa took a pencil and wrote my name on it. And I saved that thing so long, and it's gone now till that word Tommy was gone. But I wanted to be able to fish. He kept working with me, working with me, working with me, working with me. You know, finally, I got it. I stood up there for hours. I got it. I got it. I got it. And one Saturday, when Mom and Dad was going to do a singing, I stayed with Sister Martha Cooper, me and Brian, and I think my sisters and Anita and some of them, we was out there, and me and Brian, and we was learning. And then all of a sudden, we got to casting like a ball bat. I made a mistake. I wasn't paying attention. And I whopped Anita on the side of the head. Whop! Oh, what a show she put on. I wanted to run in the woods and hide. Folks, the same goes with God's people. You expect the baby in Christ to get up walking. Get up knowing the scripture. Knowing the customs of the church. How they ought to look when they come. Hey, they ain't supposed to know that yet. Give them time to enjoy what Jesus done in their heart. But anyway, I'm getting off of that. The Lord has a standard for His people. And the Bible says that His commandments are not grievous. They're grievous for the flesh. When we say, when we make a statement, Christians, that it's too hard to live for God, it's too hard. What we're doing is we're saying, I'm trying to do it through the energy of my flesh. You're not walking in the Spirit. You say, oh, it's hard. And you ain't prayed. You ain't hard to read your Bible. You ain't hard to come into church. You ain't hard to... Hey, it's hard to keep up spiritually when you're not spiritual. So the Lord... Now remember, Israel's the apple of God's eye. I mean, He didn't put a covenant in there with Abraham. I'll tell you what I'm going to do here. I love y'all so much. I'm going to curse everybody that curses you. And I'm going to bless everybody that blesses you. And by the way, that is still, the Abrahamic covenant, that is still good today. What in the world? You got an Israel flag flying. That's why. He said, I'll bless them that bless you. We bless them. Hey, why is God blessing you, church? Well, I don't know all the reasons. He's just good and merciful and gracious. But He said, I'll bless them, Abraham, that bless you. And I'll curse them that curse you. What is that, Genesis 12? But God put a standard for His people, Israel. And I don't mean to confuse anybody, but it's almost like God is married to Israel and Christ is married to the church. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Now, God loves us, don't get me wrong. But Israel's the apple of his eye. That's in the word, that's in the Bible. Amen. For God so loved the world, he gave he loves us all. But now here we are, the church. When I say the church, I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about those that are saved. Church means ecclesia, a called out body of baptized believers. That's the church, an ecclesia. And that's what we are. We're the spiritual, mystical body of Christ. Folks, the Lord paid too high a price for us to be part of Him, for us to go around and making a mockery of His name. Jesus is God. God dealt with Israel. In this text, I'm preaching on the Valley of Dry Bones, maybe one of these days. I did read a verse or two, didn't I? There was a question in that text. He said, can these bones live? That's what God asked Ezekiel. Can these bones live? Ezekiel answered pretty good. Lord, thou knowest. You tell me. So the question was this. Can these bones live or do they have to stay like this? Can these bones live or can they stay? They have to stay like this? And Ezekiel said, I don't know. And the Lord began to show him that vision. And the Lord put them back together. Can you imagine that vision? The skin, the sinews, all that thing. I mean, he brought them back together, but they were still dry and dead, but the wind blew. It's a picture of the Holy Ghost. So you see a move of God begin to move. What a picture of salvation that is. They're laying there with no hope, but God intervenes.
Right.
That's where we all were. We were hopeless sinners, but the Lord intervened. He began to move us. And the wind began to blow. The Spirit of God began to reveal to us and enlighten us. And we got born again. I tell you something else. It's a picture of dead sinners, but it's also a picture of dried up saints. Look at those bones. Look at that valley of bones. Can you imagine the vision? Can you imagine the scene? I mean, I bet it was vast. Vast, full of bones, full of bones, full of bones. And you think about those dead bones, and I'm using this as an application. With the interpretation, God is speaking to Israel. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. God will restore Israel. Israel will see Christ as their Messiah, but it'll be at the end of the Battle of Armageddon. Their scales will be lifted. He's talking about restoring them. You understand that? I'm not trying to mix it up. I'm making an application. So, you think about those bones. Human bones, skulls, feet, ribs, legs, arms. They're laying there, all in disarray. You think about it. You know, I wonder, you see a skull over here. I wonder how they used to be before they dried up. I bet they were alive and vibrant and something happened in their life. And they got cold on God. They got bitter about something. Unforgiveness in their heart. Some sin crept in. I don't know, but it gradually got them to a place where they all dried up now and they're useless in that state. God can't use them. Hey, Christian, you remember a time that you were on fire for God, had the joy of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is our strength? You served God, you were part ministries, you lived for God, and then, can I say this? Life might have gotten away. I mean, folks, you just begin to drift. Folks, drifting is a gradual thing. I remember the very first time I went to the coast. Preachers don't go to the beach, they go to the coast. Very first time, guess who we were with? Them Coopers. We all went together. I'd never seen the ocean. I was about 10, 11 years old. Had never seen the oh, God's crap. You say you shouldn't go to the beach. Well, you shouldn't go to the beach when everybody's out there half naked. Come on. Hey, the demoniac of Gadara was all the way crazy, and he was running around the tombs naked. So those that walk around half naked is half crazy. We ain't getting off on that either, y'all. I mean, that's. But as little kids, me and Brother Brian, we was in the water, man. We was playing, we was having a good time. And Daddy and Harry were sitting in lounge chairs watching us. We was dead on them. I mean, they was watching us, but neither one of them could swim either. I don't know what they'd have done. They'd have drowned it, I guess, but trying to help us. But we was playing. We weren't thinking about nothing. We was having a ball. We was diving. We was catching them waves. We was doing all kinds of stuff. Neither one of us had ever seen the ocean. And all of a sudden, we began to hear Brother Harold, "Hey, boys! Boys!" We looked at him. He said, "Get back down here." We looked at one another. We didn't think we'd moved. We didn't think we'd moved a muscle. But we done got a quarter of a mile from them. We walked and we got out, walked. They said, "Y'all went that far down through there." Well, why didn't y'all stop us before we got all the way down in there? But it don't take much. I think about them Valley of Dry Bones. What were they? Who were they? How active they used to be? What were they doing? This is an application now. Don't think I'm messing up the scriptures. Folks, I think about how many Christians you just allowed things. Folks, you may have a bad experience in one church, and you know, a thing happens, and then all of a sudden that keeps you bitter and dried up and upset and mad. Folks, that don't mean it's going to happen in the one you're in now.
Right.
God's people come in dried up. They don't have a smile. They don't want to speak. They turn their head. They don't want any part of anybody, but they want to say, "I went to church." Folks, God don't want us like that.
Right.
He don't want us dried up and one day unusable. That's why I'm thankful for these songs this morning. God's grace will cover that.
Amen.
Give that bitterness, that unforgiveness, that anger, that jealousy, that malice. That stuff's going to dry you up. And it's gradually going to take over. And your countenance will change. Your attitude will change. Your smile will leave. Your joy is gone. And next thing you know, that picture of the Valley of Dry Bones, you'll be laying out there. And everybody wondering how you used to be. How you used to serve. How you used to have joy. How faithful you used to be. And then something, I don't know, I believe the Holy Ghost will tell you, has caused you to drift away. And God brought Ezekiel out there to see a picture of Israel. A valley of dry bones, a people that once walked across on dry ground, across the Red Sea. They saw God bring manna from heaven. The first recorded song in Exodus 15 was sung by them that's laying there. They saw God out in the middle of a desert bring water from a rock. They had a cloud, a pillar of a cloud that led them in the day, and a pillar of fire that led them at night. Hey, they was in the desert, and God was providing. Hey, you understand, it gets real hot near the end of the desert. It gets real cold at night in the desert.
Right.
Listen to me now. That represented His presence, but folks, that cloud over them during the day, God gave them air conditioning. And at night, God gave them heat. Never left them. You know what that crowd, that valley dry bones to say? "He's been good to me. Man, God has done stuff for me, provided for me, lifted me up, healed me, helped me. I mean, answered prayer. I mean, God's done a lot for me. Then why are you laying in the valley of dry bones then? The world has the mentality, not what have you done, not what have you done for me, but what have you done for me lately? Forget about all that God's done for you and where you are, because God had mercy and He saved you and He brought you out of that wicked life and put you in a place. You forget all the times God answered your prayer, how God's intervened, but we'd rather walk around mad and disgusted and bitter and angry and puffed up. Folks, God's been too good for that stuff. And we're laying around like a valley of dry bones. Man, this message didn't go anything. Like my notes said, but you understand, God can get us out of that, Christian. You can, and I'm not saying about, I'm not talking about losing salvation. That's an impossibility. But I'm talking about you can actually live for Him again. Are you listening to me? I think it was my wife that posted something that was really good. It got a hold of my heart. If we would all, and I don't know the exact thing, but if we'd all handle things biblically. Folks, that's the reason a lot of, you know, the picture of those bones laying there, a lot of people just didn't handle it biblically. Somebody didn't obey God's word. Somebody went off of a whim. Folks, I don't care what it is. If it contradicts God's word, if it's going to cause you to get out of the will of God, you better be careful. You're going to be in the valley of dry bones. Folks, I'm saying it about myself. I'm saying it about myself. I'm saying it about you. God's people need to be careful. Well, what does the Bible say about whatever it is you're going through or feeling or facing? What does the Bible say about it? You going to handle it that way? What's the Bible say about my faithfulness and unfaithfulness? What's the Bible say about my priorities? What does the Bible say about sin? The mind of God's in that book. Hey, it's simple. I'm trying to close. It's simple. Find out what God likes and you like it. Find out what God don't like, you don't like it. Amen. Find out what God will do and you do it. Find out what God won't do, you don't do it. It's that simple. Lord, help us. Help me. Folks, it's so easy. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I'm a creature of habit. I've got, believe it or not, may not seem like it, but I have a schedule. I got a visitation schedule during the week. Have things I do. I have a schedule in my mind, and I got to start writing it down because my mind ain't right, or it's right, but it's not working good sometimes. You know stuff like a hurricane and no power, no phone service. Hey, that gets me off my schedule. And I get aggravated. Come on. When I get aggravated, you know what I don't want to do is read my Bible, pray. Well, I had to repent. I mean, I backslid that week. But you understand, you don't have to go out and commit open gross sin to backslide. You understand that? Okay, just as long as you know. I had a backslidden heart. I'm still. Folks, October has been nuts. Folks, you know, a lot of you have been through so much this month. Whew. Sometimes when my own schedule, mine, boy, I get frustrated. When I get frustrated, for some reason, I just don't want to be spiritual. It takes the Lord a couple of days to get a hold of me. You know why he gets a hold of me? Because he says if I don't do something in his heart, he's headed to the valley of dry bones. Even the preacher. Where are you at this morning? I don't know what God's done in this. Folks, honestly, I'm just speaking as God touches my heart. Let the Lord help you today. Let's all stand. Court, come on.